Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everyone. Today you have myself. I am Tyler Yaw with my co-host,
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest for this evening is?
My name is Rocco Caranto.
And Rocco is one of the co-owners of Tamati.
That's right. That's right.
So being the co-owner?
Yeah, co-founder, co-owner.
Okay.
How do you want to say it?
I mean, I just think you're pretty awesome. You did bring us a few things. He brought us some of the new Tamati flavors.
Yeah.
And we are going to try something a little bit later.
Yeah. Try something brand new. Never done before.
Yeah.
So
you guys are going to be like in the top 15 of human beings to ever even try the ginger mate, which we just launched this week.
Oh, nice.
Pretty stoked about.
That's exciting. Yeah. I love anything with ginger in it, so I'm just super excited about that in general right now.
Yeah, my wife thinks I'm a psychopath because, like, I'll just cut up ginger root and just, like, chew on it. I mean, that will wake you up.
I hear that's, like, what you should do instead of, like, just...
Dude, it is aggressive, but, I mean...
It'll keep you awake.
So cheap. Like, a little thing of ginger root, you know, just get it from the grocery store. It's, like, a couple bucks.
Oh.
And you only need, like, a little sliver of it. Just chew on that, wake you up. It's full of good stuff.
I've never even thought about that before.
Yeah,
I guess that's the original way of doing it, right?
I'm glad I could be here, guys. That was fun.
Yeah. I got all the ones that we need for the day.
We grew ginger in our backyard. Like, our family friend gave us a plant, and we put it in a big old pot, and it grew, I want to say, like 12 stalks last summer.
Wow.
And then I haven't watered it enough this year, so I'm afraid it might not survive.
And it's such a weird-looking plant root, you know. Yeah. We just took photos of it, just posted on Instagram. So Tamati Co, a little shout out. But like, taking picture of ginger root just looks like weird, decrepit old man fingers.
Yeah,
like it's not a cute ingredient to take photos of.
No, I'm like, I don't know what would make it look pretty.
No, we tried, but I mean, that's what we added. If you see our latest Instagram post, you add space shuttles. That's what we chose. That was the route we chose. That's the obvious.
Throw it in space.
I was going to say, why not?
That's the obvious route.
There was no other option.
Okay.
So I didn't see one.
Right. See? Tell us a little bit more about yourself too, and kind of how you went down the road of, this is kind of, for everyone in Wilmington that already knows, kind of an entrepreneur in Wilmington, but kind of tell us the road that you went down to start the business that you started before and how you got into Tamati.
Sure. Yeah. Graduated from UNCW, graduated in 2008. So I was one of the first classes of the entrepreneurship and business development program. So
nice.
Also known as the EBD program at Cameron School of Business. And a lot of folks from our class are doing some really cool stuff. So my two business partners at the Fuzzy Peach, which we started, was Jason and Wells. So Jason Nista and Wells Struble. And the three of us were kind of sick. We graduated in 08 in a recession, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm selling copiers, you know, like, hey, Mr. Small Business Owner, I know how we can save you some money and 1 cent per copy on this new copier to save you some cash. You need to buy this $4,000 copier.
Right.
Yeah, it was tough. Long story short, selling copiers in a recession. But, and so we were texting, emailing, calling each other daily, looking for ideas. And we must have gone through hundreds of ideas, stuff that's stupid to stuff that I was like, oh, we should have done that. And everything from car wash to one of the really crazy ones was we were going to make frozen bananas. So basically like a frozen dessert company and all online. So like shipping with dry ice and stuff of like chocolate covered bananas with nuts and different things like that. It was a whole thing.
It sounds so good right now.
Yeah. It sounds great, huh?
Right.
And so then Frozen Hero came up. We had saw it starting to open up on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And there was nothing like it on the East Coast at all at the time. The self-serve frozen yogurt, that is.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, because at the time we're right out of college. It's not like we have a ton of cash in our pocket either. You know, no, you know, you're in finance. You know, no right. bank's going to lend money to a bunch of college kids with a stupid idea. So we're like, what can we do with a little bit of coin scratched together? And so we came up with Frozen Yogurt Shop. And so we opened up our first one, named it the Fuzzy Peach on Racine Drive right outside of UCW. Yeah. So we're mm-hmm. right out of school, a year or so out of school. We know how college – we know the mind of a college student. We had mm-hmm. recent graduates, and so it was perfect. You know, we knew exactly who our customer was, how to talk to them, what was trendy. You know, at the we were doing, like, flash mob videos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, I forgot. That time.
Yeah, we were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, if you walked into the store at the time, it was like a party.
Yeah.
If that store was open, it was blasting techno music, probably.
Oh yeah,
you know, just full blast. You know, we busted through some speakers, so it was fun time. You know, mm-hmm. and it was successful, which made it even more fun.
Right.
So we opened up a second store, third store, fourth, fifth in Wilmington, and we saw that it was, you know, it had some legs. It was working.
Yeah,
you know, sure. All five stores were exciting, and so. The idea was, well, we could franchise this idea. And we went back and forth because the franchise, like lawyers and folks that kind of at the time put it, you know, that we saw to put it together. I mean, it was in the ballpark of like $80,000 to $100,000 to like do it,
wow.
to like make it a package that's a sellable franchise entity, you know, legally
yeah.
and creatively. And so the way we looked at it is, divide that by three. There's three of us. It's basically like $30,000 for us to get like an MBA in business that we wouldn't be able to pay for.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, worst case scenario, we just got a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we rolled the dice, went for it, had nothing to lose anyways. Mm-hmm. This was before any of us had kids or you know, wives or anything. And so actually scratch that. Wells was married. Wells married right out of school. And I had a serious girlfriend that's now my wife, and I have three kids.
Right. Congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah. And same with Jason. He met his girlfriend, now wife with multiple kids as well.
Yeah. So. That's good.
But yeah, so it was a crazy time and luckily it worked out. We opened up about 20 locations across the country.
Wow.
And we had another 20 in development. And then what we saw the inevitable where a lot of folks that just saw an interesting investment opportunity
mm-hmm.
were just mm-hmm. like, well, I got some cash. This thing's kind of working. And they'd go to other frozen yogurt shops and you'd have frozen yogurt shops like opening up next door to another one.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work. There's just not enough to go around. And so supply kept going up and going up and going up. Demand was still there, but you know, if demand dipped, the whole bottom's going to fall off,
right.
which it did, right? It wasn't as cool or trendy, and it dipped. But we had seen the writing on the wall, and so there was a publicly traded company, U-Swirl. Mm. Excuse me. U-Swirl is owned by Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
Oh, okay.
That's the publicly traded company. Yeah. And so U-Swirl is the frozen yogurt company, and they were buying concepts that are about our size, and they had reached out to us a year or two earlier. And we're like, you know, thanks, you know, I appreciate the, you know, you guys reaching out. There was no official offer, but they had mm-hmm. reached out.
Right.
And then we followed back up and we're like, hey, you know, what's going on? And so they ended up purchasing us
wow.
with 20 locations open and another 20 in development. And from there, you know, it's kind of sad that they didn't open up the other 20 and make it more successful. They kind of just, I don't know. I feel like it could have been more.
Right.
You know.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location. And it's really nice. They got some greenery out back as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
But yeah, that's interesting. So after that, that entrepreneur bug was still kind of grabbing at you guys and started the next one? Is that kind of how that worked, or how'd that play out?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, we made millions of dollars and then, you know, buy our figure right. eight house and, yeah. and set sail. You know, that wasn't the case. You know, we made a little bit of coin. That was nice. But, you know, immediately back to work. You know, we didn't have a quote unquote victory lap or anything.
Right.
And so after that, I did a handful of things, actually. Was involved in a baby bottle company even before I had any kids. And then there was a medical device company that they asked me to be president of for a little bit because it was kind of a startup.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So not exactly on the medical device expertise, but the startup expertise. And so, you know, that was fun. That was unique. A lot of learning on my end there. That was a great little business. And yeah, that was a fun one. And then Wells and I were still kind of, you know, looking at different things to do, and had a look like consulting company we had started. We actually called it Raw Growth.
Oh, okay.
The acronym stands for Rocco and Wells.
Yeah.
Still have that little company.
That's great.
Yeah. That we do a little bit of consulting on the side.
Is that for like franchising and stuff more than anything?
Some companies that are interested in franchises, we've done some consulting with and stuff on the side. It's nothing that we advertise or have a website or anything. It's kind of just something that, you know, if we're presented opportunities to talk to people that are cool and worth our time,
right,
that we would like talking to, and we think that they would get value from us. You know, we're not actively like in sales mode trying to get clients type of thing. But we've had some cool people to talk to along the way.
Yeah, it's interesting too. When I go to different like networking events, anyone that's thinking about franchising at all, there's always someone in the crowd that's like, "Have you reached out to Rocco and Wells yet?"
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, we know how to franchise a company now. We've done a handful of these little gigs. We did Pino Grill. It was Bob Ganoush.
Yeah,
I back in the day,
it,
and we grew that to 8 locations. Pandemic hits. Mm-hmm. You know, pandemic hit when we were, you know, to kind of fast forward the story, we had 3 Tomatees open and 8 Pino Mediterranean Grills, and was like our main 2 things we're hustling and working on. And man, that hit possibly the worst time for us, you know, like really invested in food service.
Yeah.
But.
Cause I remember, I'm obviously from Wilmington and live near Mayfair. So I'd see your stuff every time I'd be driving to work. I'm like, oh, this is so delicious for lunch. Or like, it was always popping up in my head. And then COVID hit and it was like every good food spot. Well, I mean, there's still plenty of spots open, but there's those spots that were like that niche, hey, I want to hop in here real quick,
right?
All kind of shuttered.
Dude, it was a weird time. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's when I really started to get to know you and meet you, was having the cafe down there, just stop by all the time and grab some tea and food.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I still have all the recipe books, of course. I'm like, man, I need to make myself a Southwest burrito or we had some stuff that I eat there every day.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like I loved it, you know, the idea was, and I guess if we rewind for Tama Cafe and introduce a new character to the story, is Wells's wife, Kelly. And so Kelly had the idea of a tea focused cafe. And so with that idea, the 3 of us started working on it, and the idea kind of morphed and evolved into Tama Cafe. And so inside the cafe, we had 30 different types of tea from around the world that we would brew for you right there on the spot, hot, cold. And then we realized, well, you know, part of the idea was like, it's basically the opposite of a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a Starbucks is mainly coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to be mainly tea was the idea. So basically a tea version of your local friendly coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so with that, we put a huge opening in the bar. You remember, whereas we did massive amount of training with the employees on customer service. I was like, we can't compete with Starbucks on a million different levels, but one thing we can do is customer service.
Yeah,
I was like, the bar basically is like a barrier, right? A literal and figurative barrier. Whereas if you go around the bar and you're talking to a customer face to face and walking them through the different jars of loose leaf tea and opening them up and letting them smell. It's a completely different experience than, yeah, our tea's right over there. Let me know which one you want.
Right.
And so like we encouraged our customer, our employee to go over on the other side of the bar and talk to the customer. And, you know, my joke when I was training employees was kind of like seeing, I was like, have you ever seen a Starbucks employee on the other side of the bar? It's like a unicorn walking on its back legs. Like right. If you see one, you should like maybe take a picture, like tag it, do research.
Yeah.
Cause that doesn't happen. No. Right. They don't make money when the employee's on the other side of the bar. Mm. It's probably why you see the trash cans always overflowing and everything like that. Cause like the real money is getting that cup to that customer and getting that next one and getting that next one. And that's what they're driving. And, you know, kudos to them. You know, they have a million locations, but from my side, that's where I could compete.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what I saw as like competing on customer level.
Yeah. You guys did it, in my opinion.
Yeah, we did. And then did you guys hear about that pandemic?
Yeah. Pesky thing.
That was crazy.
And so you guys had started canning your own cheese prior to that though, right?
That's right.
So is that kind of like the saving grace for you guys? You're like, hey, at least we have this product.
Yeah. That was kind of the decision is, so we had, So Judd Watkins over at Rice Beach Brewery, great guy, great beer. Mm-hmm. And then him, and at the time his head brewer, Kevin, the two of them actually are really big tea fans.
Oh, okay.
And so we had got to know them and I took over some matcha one time and I was like, dude, let's try a matcha beer. Oh. You know, and matcha has a ton of caffeine. Matcha, if you don't know, is like a pulverized powder base green tea.
Yeah.
And that type of, it's not any green tea. That tea was specifically grown to become matcha. And so there's different grades of matcha too. And we only use the highest grade, ceremonial grade matcha. To the layman, like the real difference between like matcha, or not the real difference, but the obvious difference between a ceremonial grade and a lower grade is the brightness. Like a ceremonial grade matcha, like it's neon green. And so it makes a beautiful product.
Yeah.
And so we brewed a beer and it was great. I mean, it had a ton of caffeine in it. Yeah. We didn't measure the caffeine, you know, but like you could feel it. You drank one of those beers, you're like
hyped up.
Oh yeah.
Let's go.
And so it was great. And then so that was kind of the beginning of mm-hmm. the relationship. Right. And then in our cafes, we were starting, you know, cause we would brew tea in house. And then for the like signature drinks, we would brew that ahead of time in the morning. And then we would have it in jugs below the bar.
Right. Yeah.
And so we would pull those jugs out and pour into the drink, whatever it was, a white mm-hmm. tea, a green tea, or black tea. Right. And so then you would add your other ingredients and have the signature drink ready to roll. And so we saw that as something that was slowing us down, that we an opportunity to save time. Whereas we could brew that and put it in a keg and then have a keg system instead of reaching under the bar, finding the right one. Oh, nope, that's not one. Oh, white tea. There it is. Yeah. And then our employees brewing that and cleaning it, you know, the jugs and everything else. And so our idea was like, we'll brew just a little bit bigger batch and put it in a keg. And then we'll have a keg system. And so then the employee just from the keg system can just go, you know, this is how much tea I want. Boom. And then we had like multiple heads on there.
Okay.
And so then when we put it in there, we're drinking sparkling water. I love sparkling water still. And I'm like, I wonder if it's in a keg, like I wonder if we carbonate it.
Yeah.
And so we carbonated it. I won't forget. It was Jasmine Pearls and we carbonated it at our Chapel Hill location.
Mm.
And we're like, this is pretty good. Like it literally just carbonated tea.
Oh wow.
It was a tea that we already had. So we just brew the tea and carbonate it. And it was amazing.
Delicious.
We're like, huh. All right. Well, I mean, tea's been around since before Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm sure someone else has done this, right? And so we looked around to just find another can or bottle of sparkling tea to just put in our deli case. Mm-hmm. Like somebody else has done it. I'm sure our distributor can find one. And we couldn't find anything. So we're like, that's crazy. And so then we should try it and then do it ourselves and go to Rice Beach Brewery, made our first bat and yada, yada, yada. And now here we are. We brew at Abita Brewery in New Orleans, actually, because we just needed a larger brewery.
That's funny.
And so in the industry, they call it your, you know, I said that because I'm trying to think of what it's called, but a co-manufacturer.
Yeah.
That word slipped me. So Another company will take and brew your product. You send them a recipe and they will kind of figure it out with a food scientist and then boom, yeah. give it to you. The problem is the way they do that is they'll take concentrate. So imagine like you come into the cafe like back in the day, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey man, I wanted to get some of that peach pear green tea. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have jars of tea and so I'd say, great. But then I reach under the bar and I grab like a jar of like thick green tea concentrate and I pour it into the bottom and that looks weird. And then I add in a vial of natural flavors into the cup. Right. And then mm-hmm. it's going to need some preservatives. So yeah. I pour in some preservatives and then fill it up the rest of the way with water and stir it up real good. And then hand it over to you. You'd be like, what
did you put in my tea?
What the hell yeah. kind of cafe is this? Right. What we found out is that's literally how every other beverage on the shelf, like go to Whole Foods and that on the back, sense. It's going to say extracts. It's going to say natural flavors. It's going to say concentrates. I guarantee you, mm-hmm. I go to all the health food shows and conventions. Like I grab every can or bottle of our competitors out there.
Yeah.
And that's just not how it's done. And so we're like, well, we just need a bigger brewery, mm-hmm. you know, and we get to brew it ourselves. So we go to a Beta brewery ourselves. Like Wells just went the last time, which was just a couple weeks ago, to brew our new ginger mate. And those guys are awesome. They, you know, it's still a family owned brewery. And we go there with pallets of tea, fruit, and herbs and pour it in the top and brew and we rock and roll. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. And we figured out tricks and tips yeah. and, you know, it's a pain in the butt and it's more expensive. Those are the two right. reasons that they use extracts, concentrates, and natural flavors, because that's extremely hard to do with real ingredients, mm-hmm. and it's way more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the end of the day, I know that what's in this can is like super good for you.
Yeah,
and it's real. Like in this can is the same recipe that I would make for myself in the cafe back in the day. This is our mint mate, and so there's three ingredients.
Right.
Like the ingredients on the back, there's three of them. There's mint, there's lemon, and there's yerba mate, and all three of them are organic.
That's really neat. Yeah, the two things I want to point out real quick too is no one has gone to the Tama Tea Instagram, please do that and watch the video that you created about natural flavors. That's my favorite thing with the beaver.
The beaver video?
Yeah.
Or it's on YouTube. Just
is it
Tama Tea Beaver?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I tried to explain what I just did, but like in a funny, like YouTube-y way.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I shared that thing more than like any other video because my son has an allergy to literally everything.
Okay.
And if we can't read what's on the back of a label, we just don't give it to him because odds are he's gonna flare up from it.
Right.
So like your product is one of the only products our son can drink. So we right. appreciate that. And also too, anytime we see natural flavors, he may or may not flare up from it because
yeah, you have no idea.
You have no clue what it is. It could be one of like 3 million different ingredients inside of that thing.
I mean, true story. So in the early, early days when we were trying to figure it out and like talking to these co-manufacturers, you know, in the industry, they call it co-mans. So right. we, and they have flavor and there's flavor houses involved as well. So, mm-hmm. and we, they're like, well, you know, and so we'd call these natural flavor companies up and be like, okay, we're using this command that, and I got this mango, they send samples and it's just a jar of like a clear liquid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like super sketchy. And you put like a drop of it, you know, and boom, your drink just tastes like mango.
Oh, wow.
Now we'd call them and we did call them. And we're like, all right, great. So I got this mango natural flavor. So like what is it though? Like, what is it? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, it's a natural flavor. Like, I understand that, what is in it? Like, what is there? And they would not answer. Like they won't.
Wow. Yeah.
And what's crazier is ironically, I'm sitting on a podcast talking about this years later. So kind of in between now and when we created it, I heard a podcast of the founder of Spindrift and he had the exact same experience. Mm. And so to this day, the only sparkling water that my wife and I drink and Wells and Kelly that they enjoy is Spindrift.
Same.
You know? Yeah. Cause it's real and great. It's kind of like we're the Spindrift of natural energy and teas.
Right.
Right. Cause they use real fruit and yeah. that's why it costs twice as much as a LaCroix, but on the back of LaCroix, it says natural flavor. So like, yeah, I mean, what is it? No one knows. You have no idea. And I know you have no idea because me, as a manufacturer, they wouldn't tell me. So if I don't know, then you, the customer, sure as hell
certainly don't.
Then we start Googling it, and you're like, natural flavor. What is a natural flavor? A natural flavor.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those like, please don't answer the, or please don't define the word with the.
Can I get the origin of the word? Right. Yes.
Natural flavor.
Okay. Yeah. So you know what mint is, you know, what, yep. You know, so that's kind of like the way we see it is like, just read the ingredients on the back, you know what raspberry is. And right. So that's where that raspberry hook, that brings us back to the beaver video.
Yeah.
Is like, we found that raspberry. So sometimes, you know, I'll be careful with my words because I'm being recorded, but sometimes raspberry, vanilla, and a couple other ingredients, the natural flavor of that comes from castoreum, which is a beaver excretion.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's like anchovies in great value.
And so I told her, and so what happened is basically I told a few like buddies, friends, you know, I'm a parent. I remember I was sitting at like a football practice and I was telling a friend and they're like, shut the, I don't know if we're allowed to cuss.
Yeah, absolutely.
My wife keeps telling me to stop cursing in public, so I won't. Okay. But like, so they were like, shut the F up. Right. I was like, no, I mean, it's a true story. And they're like, it's, you know, but our raspberry, it says raspberry. It doesn't say raspberry natural flavors. And they're like Googling in front of me, like, where does raspberry natural flavor come from? Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this, I encourage you to do some research on castoreum.
Clip it.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah. And so obviously that's an extreme example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But the example outlines or highlights the fact that when it says natural flavors, which is like everything,
right?
Like my wife and I were going we had a friend over for dinner and we were going down that rabbit hole. And again, it was one of those like mind blown. They're like, what? Yeah. And that's why we made the YouTube video, is that their mind was blown. We're like, people keep freaking out when I say this. We should make like a video about this beaver thing.
Oh, you should.
Yes. But like we just like rummaged the pantry real quick. We're like, Nella wafers, natural flavors. We're like, Ritz crackers. Dude, like Ritz crackers are like so bad for you.
We're
like, so we now get the like natural Ritz, you know, the natural ones.
The healthy ones.
Yeah. And they actually taste better.
I think they taste better too. Yeah. Like
those?
We almost anything that we have to get as close to the root as the actual product as possible, or like my son just literally can't eat it.
Right.
And so we've over the last 3 years almost have like pared down stuff to the almost basics.
So you're probably even more of an expert in it than I am then. You have to. Like I'm doing it because for one, I'm putting my name on if I just put natural flavors, extracts, and concentrates in here, like they, you know, all the experts told us to do in the beginning, what's the difference between me and the next guy then?
Right.
You know, like I can feel very confident when I'm talking to a customer, a consumer, or a retailer, what have you. Like there's nothing like this on the market, especially these yerba mates. This yerba mate has more caffeine than a Red Bull.
Jeez.
And it's literally good for you.
Right.
You know?
I'm like, that's what I need to send my friend. Like we grew up and all she drank was energy drinks.
Yeah.
And it was Red Bull, Red Bull, Red Bull. Switched to Monster for a minute. Red Bull, Red Bull, Ghost Energy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all taste delicious. But
yeah, they taste, some of them taste good. I mean, some of them.
Yeah. Some of them kind of.
Yeah. And then you know, you live this life like, you know, comparable to me. Like I can taste a fake sugar like immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
erythritol,
aspartame, all these like fake, when it says like no sugar on the front, is now your red flag.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking at a product, when it says no sugar, because they're adding still, a sweetener. When it says no sweetener, that's when you're quote unquote good.
Mm-hmm.
Me, honestly, I'd rather have sugar than erythritol.
Exactly.
Or stevia or like these other fake sugars.
My wife and I just did 75 hard. So we cut out a lot of stuff in our diets and stuff and ate like my son eats us like as whole food as we could. And so she failed out because she got kind of sick for a while. But for the first time, she had a lemonade from Islands. And it's just the regular typical lemonade that you would get anywhere.
Yeah.
And she tasted the first time after 2 months of never having like aspartame or anything like that.
Right.
And she was like, why does this taste like chemicals?
Yeah.
Like it always has. And you just never noticed it until now that you've actually cut it out for so long.
Yeah. I can taste it in a second. And sometimes like I can taste it's sometimes cause I'm always tasting different beverages.
Right.
And like sometimes I'd be like, I mean, this is good ish. Yeah, but I can still taste it though. Like it's just not for me.
Right.
But I can see where, and so the other industry secret is like a what you can fit sugar wise on like the tip of your finger from like a stevia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm going to mess it up. I think it's like 300 times smaller the amount to get the same sweetener amount to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh
yeah. So you would need like this much sugar to like this much stevia in your beverage to make it that amount of sweetness.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I forgot that the one time they only had stevia and I usually put like a full packet of sugar in my like small coffee and I put the whole entire thing in it. I was like, I need a new coffee.
Your head exploded.
Yeah. I was like, all right, here you do.
So you've been talking about these natural flavors.
Yeah. You guys want to drink some?
Yeah. Let's crack this up. Waited long enough.
I apologize. Ooh, where do we start? I'll start with the mint.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that kind of like your OG?
The rosé mate is the OG.
Oh, okay.
Because we have that in a bottle.
We're like, that's right.
I've seen the bottle pictures.
It's clear. Right. You can see because this one's like got a pink hue to it.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of things that are sexy, it was a pain in the ass. Glass breaks and it's heavy. There was a lot of things that made us decide to go to a can. But once we did that, we were like, oh man, this is it.
So what is in this, the rosé version?
Four ingredients. It has raspberry, rose hips, hibiscus, and yerba mate.
After I asked if this was the OG, I realized that I'd had this a million times already.
Just in a bottle usually.
Yeah. That's why
we still have some bottles. So
really?
Yeah, we'll get you hooked up.
This is one of the things
around town too, but
like, I don't think people realize how delicious tea is.
That's right.
Because we're all used to drinking coffee all the time.
Or sweet tea and unsweet tea.
Yes, right.
Like when you go to, so I say that a lot in if I'm in a booth or a demo setting, you know, someone's like, oh, no, thank you. You know, I'm not a tea person, you know, and I'm like, I have a pretty good track record of converting not tea people, you know, because you're used to
Lipton's.
Yeah. It's a black tea, which is a sweeter unsweet tea. And there's like 80 different types of tea past that. And flavor is just infinite. Which made the cafe really fun, right? Like coffee is always going to be, there's bookends to coffee.
Right.
And I love coffee. I'm not a coffee hater, but there's bookends to it. It's always going to, you know, you can add different flavor and stuff like that, but it's coffee.
Yeah.
Tea is like infinite. So like we had tea drinks that were wildly down the spectrum, you know, and you've tasted a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler drink. I grew up drinking water and Kool-Aid or Sprite, depending on
a lot of Kool-Aid in my house as well.
What was available. But I went to like my friend's house. We were doing a thing when the last Harry Potter movie came out and they had tea. It was like, hey, we're steeping tea and we try that. And I fell in love with like Lady Grey and everyone's like, what is this? I'm like, it's just a very, it's sweet naturally, but it has like a more citrusy forward tasting to it. And I'm like, this is what you need. You got to find the tea that's going to.
My love for tea actually came from the cafe just because I didn't know there were so many of them. And I was like, I want to try them all.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was so cool.
All right.
That is Tyler's personality.
Let's keep it rolling. Yeah. You guys want to do the mint mate?
Yes, let's see.
So again, I only brought the mates. We have green teas as well, but the green teas have about 45 milligrams of caffeine directly from the green tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would make this for myself in the cafe every day. I mean, I didn't carbonate it, but like I would just brew mint, lemon, and yerba mate in the cafe. So all if there's any employees out there listening, they know. So
they know how to do it.
I called it yerba clock.
Yeah.
It was yerba time every early afternoon.
And the nice thing is you can smell the actual flavor. It's like, oh, hey, this tastes like tea. You can smell the mint and that lemon in there versus when I open up. Like traditional sodas, you're like, what is this smell? Like it smells like this drink, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah. So there's a definite pivot point in our strategy right there. So from green teas to there, we would use dry ingredients. In the green teas, we actually use dried peaches, dried fruit. Dried peaches, pears, and mangoes, because that didn't yield the extra like natural sugars. Mm. Our idea is like the customer wants, you know, zero sweetener, zero sugar. But what we realized is like the customer doesn't mind if there's a little bit.
Right.
It wasn't a sticking point for everybody, you know. So these have natural sugar. So like the Rosé Mate is 1 gram of natural sugar. Like you don't care. It came from raspberry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the same with this one, right? So let's try the brand new.
I'm excited about this.
Ginger Mate.
Love ginger.
Yeah. So the pivot point is, like I said, we are using dry ingredients. And so in the ginger mate, it's a ginger juice. So okay. It's like,
how did you do that?
It's like a frozen ginger. The story is actually funnier. So the ginger juice, we shipped the samples to ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, we liked it. And then they shipped us the frozen 5 gallon buckets of it. And so we had it in our big stand up freezer at our warehouse. Mm-hmm. And then you need to get that frozen organic ginger juice to a Beta Brewery in New Orleans. So Wells made this elaborate cooler in the back of a rental van and drove it to New Orleans.
Oh, no way.
A month ago. So that's the ginger mate. Ooh,
this is really good. It's very approachable too, because a lot of people, like my wife, usually thinks like ginger, like super harsh, like a taste. This is actually a very approachable tea that anyone could kind of drink.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's my favorite by far.
So we mentioned this would be great for a quote unquote healthy Kentucky mule.
Yes.
So if you ever, Kentucky mule is literally just a Moscow mule, but instead of vodka, you use bourbon.
Yeah. Right.
And so it does have like a ginger beer kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, definitely.
With that, you know, very gingery taste to it. So let's do it, man. I've literally never made a mix. We keep saying like, this would make a great mixer. Great Moscow mule.
Yeah.
And I never have. So
have a little bit more.
Yeah, let's do it. And I got a couple more of these.
So quite literally, this just got announced. And so we're trying something new that no one else does.
We're like, let's leapfrog this thing. Let's get this party started.
Do you want to use the jigger thing, Chris?
Oh. We're actually fancy.
Oh, y'all fancy.
We acquired a jigger off one of our bottles. So
right.
If you need a little more, these aren't as cold.
No, that's okay. So you guys hear it here first. We're going to do the first ginger mate and bourbon.
I don't know if anybody's made a mixer out of it yet. Like I said, you guys are definitely in the top 20 of human beings to try it. So
it's very exciting. We appreciate you coming on and letting us try it for the first time.
Yeah. Stoked.
So we're learning new things. If it tastes bad, I'm not going to tell you.
I'd like to know.
Oh, I would totally tell you.
Cheers. All right, cheers, boys.
It actually is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I was surprised. So we use the Benchmark Top Floor that we tried a couple weeks ago. Just because, like I mentioned, it would taste good as a mixing whiskey.
Yeah, and I did mention probably ginger. So this, this worked
and
well.
The kicker is the caffeine.
Yes. Right, yeah. You know? Definitely helps.
And like I get a lot, like I used to drink a lot of mixed drinks and I don't anymore. And it's really like the sugar, like in soda.
Yeah.
It kills me.
Oh man, it tears. Or like you ever woke up from like a night of been drinking like college days of like just like way too many Jack and Cokes and your tongue is like dry.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. You're like, what just happened to me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was me on my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
We went out and I was like, okay, cool. Like, I always drink old fashions.
Okay.
In the bar, we went to Starling and had a few drinks and they closed early. So we went downtown. I was like, oh, you know, I'll just do a whiskey Coke. And it also reminded me that I hadn't had like Coke in so long.
Yeah.
The soda, Coca-Cola, sorry.
And Chris is going crazy.
Oh, boy.
Like, within an hour, I was like,
what kind of podcast is
this? Right.
We do not do anything illegal.
Right.
But, yeah, the next morning, I woke up, and I was like, one, I am so hungover from drinking so much. But, two, I just had that, like, dry mouth, icky feeling from something that's not natural. Because Starling makes a bunch of their syrups and, like,
you should definitely bring these around to some of the bars to...
Fun fact, the one of the owners of the Sterling is Matt Ray.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who was our photographer that took that photo.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He was an early customer of the cafe.
Oh, okay.
You probably bumped into him a lot.
Probably just never knew who he was at
the time. He didn't have that much hair.
He's a he's a great guy. Yeah, Wilmington's so, you know, I'm coming up with a weird word in my head, but incestuous. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like everybody is overlapping. Everybody has a side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, Wilmington's really cool like that. I actually was just talking to my CPA the other day, and he was like, hey, funny question. Your wife is... her brother, such. I was like, yeah. He was like, oh yeah, I'm boys with him. You know, it's like, oh cool, right on. Small, it's a small town. Yeah, and especially I've been here. I was looking at the old calendar recently. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh dang man, I've been here for almost 20 years.
Oh wow,
yeah.
Gosh.
I came here in 04 for school.
Where are you from originally then?
Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just want to get to the beach.
Yeah, I mean. It's pretty straightforward. I was a runner. That's actually how the three of us met. Me, Wells, and Kelly.
Yeah.
Or not Kelly, but me, Wells, and Jason.
Jason, yeah.
The three of us were sweet mates at UNSW. Jason and I were distance runners, and Wells was a pole vaulter.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they put all the track guys kind of together, or people, because the girls' track team were on the first floor, Graham, or a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
A handful of us were on the fourth floor, and then... some of the suites, they kind of pack them together a little bit in pockets. And so it was fun. And we just stayed friends. You know, we were pretty much in and out of being roommates for the rest of our college career. And Jason's actually at Clean Eats now.
Yeah.
You know, he got in over there early and helped them franchise and do a lot of things. And yeah, their Clean Eats is a rocket ship themselves, man.
Love Clean Eats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually saw you over there the other day.
Yes. Yeah, we work on a lot of their drinks, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're clean teas. We formulate all of those with Yvonne, the founder over there. They're just great people, and they truly care about what's in the food and you know, the whole mission. Mm-hmm. They got a great thing going.
Yeah.
She's one that we've talked about multiple times on the podcast.
Yeah, we need to get her on.
I've just been slacking on sending her an invite. Like, hey, because they're always... they're traveling and...
oh, they're so busy.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Clean Eats is just like a fad. I'm like, no, it's a lifestyle. Similar to like CrossFit and stuff. That there's a ton of them around and they're always opening because people realize...
yeah, what's the fad with eating healthy?
Yeah,
right, like, exactly.
You eat healthy, it's better for you. You're going to last longer. You
literally eat every day. And their food's really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know? That's what I like.
Like that Arnold over there? I joke with them over there. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting another Arnold. I'm sure the rest of your food is great, but like, I can't get past it. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. So the Arnold, and then they have a flatbread that they have over there too.
I'm telling you, I rarely get past the Arnold. It's just,
yeah. But those are the only two that I eat too. I'm like, there's a whole menu.
I feel bad admitting that, you know, cause I'm sure their menu is a lot. They do a lot of great things in there.
Man,
that Arnold's so good.
That's like me and chicken tenders. Like if I go someplace and I'm like, I can't understand any of this stuff on a menu, I'm like, chicken tenders.
Dude, one of my boys is a 5-year-old at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll go as like couples, you know, we'll all go out to like a nice dinner and he'll just be like, and we just joke. You're like, just get the kids menu. And he'll eat chicken tenders and he eats Fruit Loops. And we're like, bro, he's like, he doesn't care. He's like, I'm going to eat what I'm going to eat. So y'all get over it.
I mean, fair I've enough. Gotten better because I'll actually try stuff on a menu, but that's been the running joke in my family. It's like, we go out to eat.
Just and give
like,
him chicken
just
tenders.
Just give him the tenders. Yeah. You got nuggets? Even better.
And if you're my kids, are they in the shape of dinosaurs?
Right.
Because that's key.
Exactly. They taste different.
Frozen chicken nuggets, like your kid's chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. That's where the dad bod comes from. Cause like, dude, last night, I swear my wife and I are watching TV and she's drinking a glass of red wine and I get out a juice box out of the fridge.
It's amazing.
Guilty.
And she was like, she's like, are you drinking a juice box? I was like, I mean, they're really good. She's like, I mean, I get it. They're
delicious.
They're delicious.
Right.
That's the problem. My wife doesn't like to send me to Costco by myself because I'll end up being like, ooh, Capri Suns, throw it in my bag. Uncrustables, throw it in the bag.
So good. You're like, how? And then you check out and you're like, $500? What did we get?
It's like, I sent you. Costco is my target.
Yeah.
Like if we send Jennifer to Target, she's going to spend like half Tyler's paycheck.
Yeah. She has been banned from Target because she overspends.
It's aggressive. And then how old are your kids? Or you just have one?
I have two. Yeah. Two? So I have one that's about to turn three and the other one is just turned one.
Oh no. You got some time. When they can walk and they can reach crap, you're like checking out. You're like, where did this come from? Cause there's three of them too. Even if my wife and I are both there, we can't keep an eye on, you know, these little rugrats.
That's six hands. So
dude, so the Walmart pickup is pretty clutch, you know?
Yeah.
They started that like right before the pandemic. And then like that pandemic, it was clutch. I had little kids, you know, I'll have a kid asleep in the car and go do pickup.
Oh yeah. You know? I mean, just didn't Harris Teeter pickup the other day too. Yeah. It's so much nicer.
And Walmart, it's surprising, man. Cause I go to all these trade shows and you meet the Walmart buyers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they're really focused on getting more like healthy and like trendy and
we've
like
noticed
good
that too. Yeah.
Food products in their stores.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you can get a lot more like organic stuff and like good stuff that you would see at, you know, Whole Foods a year or so ago. And then they pick it up, you know, they want to see some success with it because they're a monster, you mm-hmm. know, like honestly, you know, no matter Whole Foods, we're way too small for, you know, for a Walmart, you know, right now.
For now.
Yeah. You know, maybe a year or so from now, but like, you know, they're a beast. But what's cool is like they keep on picking up more and more like health. And that's what I always told my wife is like, yeah, things are expensive until there's an economies of scale.
Right.
Like think about how expensive organic chicken was like 5 years ago.
True.
Such a drastic difference.
You know, like of course the price of it now, but like with inflation or whatever, but like in comparison to regular chicken, mm-hmm. it was like ridiculous. And now it's like, it's slightly more. Yeah.
Right.
You know, but yeah, so the more people that consume a certain thing, it becomes more economical.
Yeah, exactly.
I love thinking about that.
Yeah, we got surprised too with Walmart kind of picking up their organic and more like natural type of stuff too, just because there's a apple juice, I believe, that my son can actually drink that we can only find at Walmart. We're like, go figure.
Is it the one with like it's a green on top? It's like,
yeah, that's one of them.
That's
the
one I had last night.
Yep.
So good. I don't remember the brand, but it's so good.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop and find it.
Oh, so good. I didn't bring samples of the apple juice.
Right.
But yeah, packaging has a lot to do with it. You know, mm-hmm. like ironically, where we sit about 100 meters that way is Creature Theory, local design.
That's
company,
right. Yeah.
And that's who designed our cans. Like, I feel like I have a PhD now, an honorable PhD.
Yeah.
Product packaging, because like what we thought was like fun to be on there, and then we realized like literally the most important thing for a CPG brand, CPG is consumer packaged goods, is like the label.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the reason is pretty straightforward if you think about it, is like, of course you want a regular user mm-hmm. to eat or drink your product regularly,
right?
But you don't earn that right until they pick it up.
True. Yeah.
And so they need to pick it up once. That's literally the first step, right? And so that first step has to be strong because, like, how many beverage brands am I competing with?
Mm-hmm.
Like thousands. So once they hold it, so what's on the front, you know, is the primary. Then on the side, we have, like, more. So, like, I'm assuming that whoever's looking at the side has picked it up.
Yeah,
right.
Because what you see on the front is what you see on the shelf, right? And so what's on the front needs to be beautiful, needs to get like the point across in almost a fraction of a second. It's mm-hmm. insane. And then you earn the right for them to read the side and the back, right? And then hopefully they purchase it.
Right.
And then from there, the product has to be amazing for them to repurchase. But you don't get that right for them to repurchase until they pick it up.
That's true, whether
it's online or in the store, you know, it has to look like it's going to be amazing.
Has there been psychology done about when someone picks up a can, how they turn it in their hand?
That's a good question. I assume, I don't know.
I think it's mostly everything rotates to the right because most people in the world are right-handed, but I've always, like, I never thought about it, but I did in the back of my head because I'm always, when I pick up something, I'm looking for some sort of information. and it's never the direction I expect it to go. Mm-hmm. Like I've had randomly, like I'll pick up a container for like hair product or something and I rotate it. I was like, why didn't I just go to the left? Because I always know it's on the left, but I always spin it to the right. So
yeah. And so ironically, our information is on the right. Of course, it's a cylinder, so you keep going around.
Yeah,
you'll eventually get back.
But the other thing we did is make the – so our we had version one, version two. So version one, ironically, here we are. I paid a buddy that's an amazing graphic designer in his own right. He refused payment, and so I paid him with a bottle of bourbon.
Oh, that's awesome.
On the first three designs. Great guy, friend of mine locally. And then the second design, we learned a little bit more, and then we designed the V2, we call it, label. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we hired Creature Theory to do what was then Ebbing Design. They changed their name recently. But, yeah, they're in the Cargo District as well.
They've done some amazing work just in general around here as well, too.
Dude, they crush it. They really crush it. And so they did our Rosé Mate bottle. And so then when we got the bottle and we saw our V2 cans, because, you know, no offense to any of our other designers and everything, but, like, they work on, like, they're very focused on – they do a lot of beers and cans and beverages and kombuchas. And so, like, they were very focused on, like, what the end goal was. And that really, like, was a difference maker. When we saw our bottle and our V2 cans, we were almost like, shit. Dang it. We just did V2. And so we made the decision to change all of our green tea cans and then into that style.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the Rosé Mate bottle looked akin to this. And so then we made our V3 cans.
Okay.
And then when we were coming out with the mint, we knew we needed some tweaks. And so these are called our V3.2 because it's not like a true,
right. Not a real big change, so, like, but it's a little.
One of the big things is like what we are like super proud of, and you've heard like a million times already me talk about, is like the ingredients. And so, like, obviously, like the V1, we had the ingredients listed sideways on the can. So the customer had to literally turn the can sideways to read it. And so, like, the things that we don't care to highlight, you know, distributed by Tama Tea, Wilmington NC, that's great, but like put that on the side.
Right.
Made the ingredients as big as we possibly could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did some other things like that. So,
because you could, because there's only three or four of them.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm like, he's not kidding. Typically, when you read like the ingredients list on like a canned drink, it's all small print. It's smaller than the size of like the nutritional facts because there's so much stuff in here.
It's hard.
I can read the ingredients from across the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like quite literally sparkling spring water, organic yerba mate, organic ginger. Like,
dude,
that's the craziness.
This drink, I mean, I'm kind of biased, but I'm a whiskey and bourbon fan.
Yeah.
I'm going to start making this.
Yeah. I'll say, I'm extremely impressed. Yeah.
I mean, it needs a couple rocks in it, you know. And right. If it was a little colder, that's my fault because I was like, oh, crap, okay. I don't have any cold. And so I brought like two that were cold and then the rest were room temp, assuming like, that's good enough. And I'm like, oh, crap. But here we are.
No, yeah, like this is... though. Like I said, this is really good for like a healthy version. My flavor palette has shifted, which I'm proud of in my life because we did 7.5 hard last year and I cut out sweet tea because I used to drink that all the time. And when I went back, it's like now I can only drink it like once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
And my wife has shifted me and we're drinking like the sparkling waters. And so I'm getting better at like these non like overly sweetened.
Get the Spindrift from Costco.
I've heard the name. I never bought them.
It's a game changer.
It is.
I'm going to have to. I don't go to Costco again until like next month. I minimize.
You don't have two kids.
True.
That's right.
I have to minimize those trips though.
Yeah. And then you see like, ooh, I might need a new frying pan. You're like, you don't need a new frying pan. Right. What are you talking about?
I do have a random question about it though. Since there is no preservatives in it, is there a shelf life or since it's
2 years. So,
Okay.
Nature made a preservative of lemon. You know, so lemon actually makes a pretty good preservative. And then carbonating it also helps shelf life as well.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we've learned along the way. We actually have, so we put a 2-year shelf life on it that's agreed upon by all the consultants and everybody else. But we save a minimum of a 6-pack from every batch we've ever done, which is excessive.
Yeah.
And so, and we'll randomly crack one that's 3-4 years old and tastes fine.
Fine. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
It's good to know.
Interesting. Yeah. So with growth of your family and growth of the businesses, I got a question for you.
Let's do it.
What would be your definition of success as an entrepreneur? I know you got a couple ideas in your head.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think it depends on the person,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, success to I feel like young me would be like how much money you have, you know, if you have the boat, if you have the house and everything mm-hmm. like that. But then adult me is how happy you are, you know? I feel like happiness is the measure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of success. Cause you might be a monk or you mm-hmm. might be a billionaire and you might have the same level of happiness in your life.
Yeah.
You know, like we all, you hear of these stories of celebrities and millionaires and billionaires that are having divorces and, you know, suicide or what, you know, drug problems. Abuse, like, yeah. That, like money doesn't always define that success.
For sure.
I'm a Christian. I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, faith has a lot to do with it in my life. And, you know, I'm a father. And so my kids, you know, being happy and, right. and things like that. Like there's success gets thrown into business and work more than it should.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like success should just be on how happy you are.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think that's kind of the thing. And so I actually did a talk recently it was a keynote speech at UNCW for high school age entrepreneurial minded kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it was basically like a business plan competition. And it was awesome, man. These kids came up with some brilliant ideas. And so they asked me to be the keynote. It was at UNCW Keenan Auditorium. And so a big room. And it was my first time speaking as a keynote in like a big room like that. Like that was kind of intimidating, but I thought about it because it gave me a lot of time. They gave me like a 4 to 6 month like heads up on it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I had enough time to like really chew on it. They gave me no parameters, no time limit, and no requirement of what to talk about.
Oh, wow.
So that was like a gift and a curse type of
thing. Yeah.
And so it ended up being about 7 or 8 minutes. Okay. No. It was a little bit longer than that. I don't know. But I titled it Game Time. And I came up with the title kind of after I was writing it. And so the idea was like life is a game, mm-hmm. you know, to your question of success. And it's like, if you think about life as a game, then what's the goal? Because the goal of a game is to win and beat the competition. So if that's soccer, it's scoring more goals. And so to score more goals, you need to have a good defense. You need to have good offense. You need to have good passing. You need to practice. You need to mm-hmm. do drills. You need to have teammates. And so if life is a game, then like imagine if a high school student put as much time into thinking about how they want their life to develop as they do in swimming or ballet or, you know, whatever their interest is, football, soccer, you know, I'm thinking of sports related analogies mm-hmm. because of the game time analogy, but you know, it might be whatever they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and the way I kind of framed it was if you go down that path, then keep playing that through. Right. You're going to lose mm-hmm. at some point if you do anything, you know, in life. And so you know that life is going to suck at some point. But that's part of life. Like right. I told them, sure. I was like, raise your hand in this room if you've never had any failure or any trauma or lost or suffering at all. And nobody raises their hand, right? Because mm-hmm. everybody has. And so it's like, all right, well, if everyone has, then don't be surprised when it happens to you because life is going to suck at some point.
Yeah.
Right. There is suck in life.
Yeah. You know? Right.
Embrace the suck, you know, and just realize that this is it. This sucks right now, whatever it is, you know, there's really bad, you know, and then there's some things that feel really bad, but will pass. And you power through that because that's part of life. You know, yeah. It's a part of life for every single person, and suffering is one of those things that you can't avoid. So don't pretend like you can avoid it. You know, the Instagram lifestyle was part of the idea for that talk, right?
Right.
And the Instagram lifestyle is life is awesome for everybody except for me. And I think a lot of that is what is hurting younger folks right now, is because they see everyone like crushing it, everyone mm-hmm. succeeding, and it's not true. It's just what they're showing on Instagram, you know, or 1,000%.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, then when your boyfriend breaks up with you, or you fail at in a class at college, or you wreck your car, or a parent dies, or like really sucky things happen in life. Mm-hmm. Like they do. There's nothing you can do about it sometimes, right? And so if that's the case, power through, right? Mm. You know, figure out, and that's what happens in sport, right?
Right.
You lose sometimes, but you figure out what happened that was wrong that you can learn from, and then you move forward. And then another thing that I think was a key part of that talk is, if life is a sport, then you have teammates, right? And I was like, you are the average of the top five people that you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a statistical fact. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, imagine if we went to a prison right now and we asked, you know, who are some of the five top people that you hung out with back in the day? I bet all five, if not most of those people that they hung out with, are probably in that same jail or worse.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Now think about successful folks. Who's the top five people that I just read Steve Jobs' book before that talk. Yeah. And so it made me think about it. And so like all of Steve Jobs' friends, I guarantee you, are millionaires or billionaires right now at this day in the tech, you know, space, because they surrounded themselves with like-minded people that had goals and aspirations, mm-hmm. you know? And so if you surround yourself with people that have morals, goals, aspirations, no matter where you live or what you do, there's people around you that care. Mm-hmm. So surround yourself with the people that care, and don't surround yourself with the people that are out there just goofing off. Yeah. Right. Same with sports. You know, I have a sports mentality. You know, we ran track and I still, you know, am quasi competitive. Right. Not really, you know, with kids, I still get out there and try to suffer a little bit on the track, but yeah, I mean, you surround yourself with fast runners, you get faster. If I surround myself with people that I'm faster than, I'm not going to get any better. Yeah. And it's the same way with anything, right? You surround yourself with good business-minded people like you guys do. Like, you know, you actively try to find interesting people to talk to.
Yeah.
And so you're going to learn vicariously through different folks. You surround yourself with good, moral, and positive and smart folks. And it goes a long way, but no one's telling these kids that, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Because the only thing that they're really listening to is exactly what you said, is that Instagram lifestyle. The only person they see on there is the one that's pretending that their life is perfect.
Yeet.
Yeah. You're keeping up with the times. Good job.
I think yeet's a little old now, actually.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, technically, I feel like bet is getting old too.
Bet is getting a little old.
I'm ready.
I had a college age intern last year, and I was like, dude, if you say bet one more time, he's like, bet.
No, my little brother and sister say it all the time. I'm like, it took me a minute to figure out what bet stood for. Mm-hmm. I was like, you were using that way too much.
And they're like,
I forget, there was a word that we had up in PA too that we used all the time. They're like, what's it even mean? And I was like, I don't know. It's kind of a catch-all.
Yeah. I feel like there's little pockets, like in like my high school, there's a couple like phrases that our friends would say, and like it made no sense, but you know.
Right.
And then there's stuff that like gravitates and catches on.
Exactly. Worldwide. Since we are getting up on our hour here, I have one last question for you.
All right.
You kind of touched on it a little bit, but if you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a heavy question. I think a lot of what I just said, you know? Because younger me didn't understand that, you know? It's one of those things where only life can give you those experiences. But, like, I kind of didn't take life that seriously, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of I think there's a lot of, actually, I take that back. There are a lot of folks that, you know, in high school are like super driven, and you see that right. And you're like, bro, you're thinking about this in like 10th grade?
You're like,
wow. So I think there's a lot of kids that have their head on straight, but I did not, you know, to be frank, you know, I did pretty much the bare minimum to get through high school and college.
Yep.
And then I was really focused on my running and, you know, partying, honestly, yeah. And, you know, and friends and things like that. Whereas, you know, you take a little bit of ounce of like, okay, to be successful in life, I might want these types of things. So I might want to get, you know, experiences and read books in this direction because it's going to be valuable later.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know what they say, like, when's the best time to plant a tree?
Yesterday.
Like, yeah. 10 years ago.
That's right. 20 years ago, yeah. Right? You guys are both ahead of the curve there. But and the second next time, best time is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these people like, oh man, I should have invested in this back then, or I should have done that. Whereas like, just do it right now. But like, but hindsight is maybe we can pass that information down.
Mm, right.
Right. And so like hindsight, like what's interesting is I have like, I don't, not diagnosable, but like I cannot focus on a book. Like I can't. Mm-hmm. Like it was always really, really hard for me. Like mm-hmm. I would read a page and I get to the next page, and like I don't remember what that page said.
Yeah.
And so then I would try to go back. And so eventually, like as a kid, I was like, F this. Cause like I guess I was like kind of smart enough to like be in the classroom and absorb right. some of it to pass the class, go on to the next thing, and like never do my homework.
Yeah.
So basically just like kept faking it to the point where like, well, now this is like comfortable, mm-hmm. where I can feel like I can fake it all the way through. And after I graduated college, ironically, I had a book from one of my professors that was part of my reading for the class that I did not read. And I read it after I graduated. And I was like, why don't I just freaking read this book during the class? Would have made it so much easier.
Right.
You know, and I realized just like taking that little bit of taking things a little bit more seriously and focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where, you know, I was just trying to party and have fun in college, and I made it through, and I didn't get in a lot of trouble. But, you know, I feel like I could have been a little bit more focused on what the end goal is. And again, I'm being a little ambiguous because the end goal is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some people don't want to go to college, and that's great. You know, like
right
now, like if you're in high school and you're like, do I want to go to college or not? I don't really feel like it. My parents, you're like, dude, I guarantee you can make six figures in Wilmington being a plumber. Just showing up on time. Show up on time, dude, wear a polo and have a clipboard. And then like, do right. exactly what the customer said that they wanted you to do, and show up on time and do that.
Yeah.
And take a 6-month class at
CFCC. Yeah.
See all those C's.
Yeah.
CFCC and crush it, you know, like, and everyone's direction is different, but like, there's more options out there. I feel like it's just like taking a beat. And like looking around, figuring out what you really want, taking a deep breath and then figure out what that path forward is. And I never really did that. I kind of just like by the seat of my pants, letting the wind take me wherever. And that was a long answer to your question.
No, I appreciate that. It was all great stuff. I appreciate that. Yeah.
It made plenty of sense to me.
Yeah.
And when I listen to it again in a couple of weeks on the podcast, I'm like, that just resonates.
Yeah.
It's a good one. So I got, because now wrapping up at the end.
Cool.
Where can people follow you guys on social media?
We're pretty easy to find, man. Tama T Co. So that's TamaTeaCo on Instagram.
Okay.
Easy. And we put all of our shenanigans on there. I don't have time for TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. There's only three of us and we got some interns. So
yeah.
We try to put some of our goofiness in our stories and on the platform there. Because we're always doing something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
I love it.
That's our platform of choice as well. And we do follow you. So we do always get, like to watch the antics. So it's fun.
There's a lot of antics.
It's one of those, like I follow beverages and brands and random stuff. But it's nice to know that you guys are local and you're real people, not just like, oh, hey, it's a marketing machine throwing out stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Instagram is like 75 to 90% like me just posting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Matt taking photos.
Yeah, that's right. Matt taking the photos of me posting them. Yeah, he does a great job.
I love his stuff. He always makes food look so delicious.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
Talking about marketing and making social media look good and everything, we do have to shout out one of our sponsors here, which is Sway Creations. They actually do all of our social media.
Nice.
Yes. Because that was not a forte of mine. And so I was like, you know, we need to outsource this, bring someone on to help us out there.
Right on.
And so they create all the content for us. And similar to like Matt, she makes all the content for us. We put it out there for the world to see. And
I'm not saying I'm good at it.
I'm good at posting.
I can, right. I mean, yeah. I can post it.
It happens. I don't know if I'm good at it.
It gets my attention. So, I mean, at least someone's watching it.
Good. Right on.
Yeah. I just want to say one last time, thank you for hopping on here.
Yeah, man, it's been fun.
Yeah, you know? Thank you so much. And now I have a new ginger mixer for my whiskey.
I can be persuaded with whiskey to show up. So
yeah,
I can totally do that. Yep. Well, yeah, thank you guys for all listening. Follow us on all our social medias, mainly Instagram. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Leave us a nice 5-star review. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
Unless it's on YouTube, because I'll take all of the engagement I can get.
Yeet.
Yeet.
Cheers.